Hello, and welcome to the Re-Up Podcast, where you're up on everything pop culture from the minds of 20-somethings. I'm back this week with my regulars, Deshaun.
Hello.
And Dawson.
Yeah.
Let's just get things started, some bits of casual talk. How you guys been this week?
Doing fine, you know.
I've been fine.
At work.
We're almost done with our semester, technically. Like, we have a few more weeks of our classes, and apparently we don't go back until, February? For us, Dawson, I think it's February 1st, right?
Yeah, it's February 1st.
I was like, that's more break than what we normally get. I'm like, that's 3 months of back to binge watching, I guess.
I swear. I'm just going to be working. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Get my funds up so I can get an apartment.
More applications for places and then hopefully save up for, you know, new games and stuff. How about you, Deshaun?
I don't know when exactly we're confirmed to go back for spring break. Spring semester. But, I mean, since we've been online and our semester is going to end shortly after Thanksgiving, instead of that week being dedicated to finals, and we'll be taking them online, so we'll already be back home when we're taking our finals. We have basically 2 weeks more time than what we usually get, because we usually have basically the whole month of December for break plus those first 2 weeks of January. So,
right. I was going to think that since mostly it's online and, you know, some people don't have places to go, that's why they stay in, that's why they go to, they live on college dorms and campuses, then they would leave them open for the break to have a place for people to stay.
I have no idea how that's going to work. Because usually we're allowed to leave our stuff in our dorm because, you know,
right,
we're coming back for spring break.
Who knows?
But I have no idea how this shit's going to work because COVID.
But, I mean, I guess during this weird time that we're in, the best thing what we've always, all of us have probably been doing when we're not busy, you know, we watch TV. We watch our favorite shows, whether it be anime or cartoons, right?
I haven't really watched much anime recently, but, yeah, I get the overall gist of what you're trying to say.
Right, honestly, neither I guess, but I have been watching a lot of scripted television, whether it be on, I'm getting into new comedies, like, I've been hearing for years that Brooklyn Nine-Nine was hilarious, and both my parents and my brothers are Office fanatics, and I can't see into The Office, but I do enjoy Parks and Rec, and I did enjoy Community, so I started watching.
You don't enjoy The Office, but you enjoy those two?
Yeah, it's
weird. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's not.
Elaborate, please.
All right, so my mother puts it with The Office. It's a lot of it's a cringe humor, and I'm not sitting there trying to be like this. Some people like just doing a bunch of stupid shit, and the payoff for that stupid shit is not what I'm looking for.
Well,
like I'm watching Michael Scott going off and being a complete idiot, but somehow managed to run.
The Office is cringe humor. Parks and Rec is cringe humor. Real cringe humor is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I could not make it past its first season
Neither could I.
When there's episodes like, for example, when they went to go see The Matrix and then they're in the alleyway.
Oh, someone addicted to crack. Chris.
And then they get robbed and they all the guy characters just ditch and leave the one female character behind. I was just like, how are these people friends? No.
Right.
That just, none of this, their reason for being together is almost like cartoonishly forced together. Like, because none of these people would like each other. Like, I remember that one episode. Like, also, our characters are so unlikable. Like, I understand making unlikable characters that people like, but these characters are just unredeemable. Like, fucking the episode where Max slept with that Christian girl. And then in order to test him at the abortion rally, she was like, I'm pregnant. He was like, you're going to have to get an abortion. I was just like,
because you can make a character unlikable, but everybody loves, like, for example,
Mr. Burns
or Bakugo. But yes, actually, it's a good one, Mr. Burns, because Mr. Burns is probably one of my favorite characters on The Simpsons.
But he's cartoonishly evil,
evil.
But like Mac from friggin' Always Sunny in Philadelphia is just like the disgusting, realistic, unlikable ass. Like,
I guess
you could feel him existing as a person, and I don't like it.
Right, but
there's some jackass out there that acts like him.
The cartoonish evil works in the medium, whereas for Mr. Burns, it works because, again, he's a cartoon character. You can play and bend and mold the character to what you like, and the comedic guys can be visual or another representation. But when you have that cartoonish character mentality, like, say, Negan in The Walking Dead, who's really one-dimensional and isn't a great character, in my opinion, because he's just the one-beat cartoonish villain.
That's why he works in Tekken.
I mean, that's why he works in Tekken, yeah. As we played a few games earlier in the week that completely exemplify that point, but in the show, not so much. In terms of, like, good, say what, a good villain was the governor back in the early seasons, because, you know, you saw his motivation, you saw the build-up, and you got a reasonable payoff. And he was more than that, the one guy that was out to catch the group of protagonists, you know? But then take a show, I guess, that there's no real... let's say villain or hero. So, like,
Rick and Morty.
Explain.
Well, in Rick and Morty, it's like very clear that no one is really the hero or the villain of each episode. Like, there's like villain of the week, but there's not really like the villain. Like, they're all doing their own thing because their own cause. Like, everyone does pretty much evil things or just demonstrable things in the show, and no one really gets reprimanded for it, if that makes sense.
Right. So it's kind of like you take the slice of life format into a grander scale. So you have these characters doing these awful, shitty things, and it's just a normal part of their life, and they're not doing it out of, I guess, malicious intent. It's more of a selfish act, and it's just you got to live with it and deal with it, and you continue on, I guess. Because I think a good episode for that, for Rick and Morty, was what was that episode?
Nobody's here on purpose.
I was going to say the episode with the president, and he's trying
to
Morty the selfie. Like, they do some stupid.
He did some messed up stuff to the president just because he didn't give Morty a selfie.
Right.
Prove a point.
I would say the best episode that exemplifies that is the episode of where they are on the superhero team.
Oh,
that makes fun of, clearly making fun of, like, the MCU stuff, because it shows that Rick and Morty do not fit into that crowd. They're not heroic. They're not good people. And it shows you in universe that, yes, these people are not good people, but they don't care. And that was like kind of the whole point of that. So, but
right, that is a good point.
That's a good point. Right. I just don't like the episode.
No, I don't like it either. I think it could have been done better, but I get, like, kind of overall the point of.
I mean, another episode, like, genre-breaking mold episode was, I think, one of the early episodes of this last season with
Infinity Train.
Yeah, the Infinity Train episode where they're just tearing down a bunch of, like, story plot holes and conscripted writing to get to the overall, like, the biggest flaw writing, I guess, is the Bible, but they're taking a jab at the end. And that's all based on consumerism. You know, you buy the product, you sell the merchandise.
It's like there was no really a villain in an episode. It was just they were kind of just doing something.
So that's not an overarching, I guess. Sorry, backtrack. To say that it's not much of a villain, I would assume that's more of your non-consecutive scripted episodes. Like, each episode starts and ends in its own arc or time constraint. It's not overarching or overlapping to a season arching story type narrative. But is that better than, you know, you're watching the whole series from front to back and you wait to the end to get that payoff to say, oh shit, it's finally all come full circle? Is that payoff better than to be sat in a lap and, you know, you're entertained for 15-20 minutes and, man, I can't wait to see what hijinks happens next episode?
It just depends on how the characters are written. Like SpongeBob, if that had an overarching theme, then I wouldn't really enjoy it. Or like something like The Simpsons, if The Simpsons had an overarching theme, then it wouldn't have been enjoyable. But if the characters were written well, like if Gravity Falls was just episodic and it didn't have an overlapping thing, it wouldn't have been as good.
Yeah, like you have, and then you have shows that like started off like The Simpsons, but made their way to being like having overarching things like South Park, because South Park in their most recent seasons decided, you know what, instead of doing just random episodes of random crap, we're going to actually start doing chaining narratives.
But I heard that when I started doing that, it kind of declined because
it declined because
it was a season that Trump was running for president.
Yeah, that season was weak because
they planned,
they focused on it too hard,
right? And they planned like in everyone's mind that Hillary was gonna win. Like, come on,
yeah, they literally had like
write stupid shit, but that's too stupid to even believe that's possible. And then he fucking won
because with the Obama and I forgot who else. But it was like the Obama election. They wrote two endings for it. Like they filmed and they made two endings just so they can have the episode ready to air. But with this one, they only made the Hillary one, and they only planned for the Hillary one. And then when Trump won, they had to kind of scramble stuff together because Mr. Garrison was supposed to go back to the school, right. But because Mr. Garrison was supposed to be Trump, they kind of lost the character.
And I guess in terms of it depends on the type of show, that's absolutely true. But I feel like there's a limit to what you can do with the non-episodic episodes type series. Another two staples of this is The Simpsons and Family Guy. Because with The Simpsons, I feel like it's outrun its course. And there's so much, like, they've run out of material. On 32 seasons? Either I feel like there's some episodes that they've either overlapped or it's gone to the point where, okay, this is completely out of norm for The Simpsons. And is
that's the biggest thing is knowing when your show / story needs to end.
Right.
And that's also why when people were upset about Gravity Falls and Steven Universe, they were like, why will we get another season? I'm just like, guys, because the creator doesn't want to continue.
For Gravity Falls, that's absolutely true. For Steven Universe, it was a bit more complex because for the audience of the show, they were kind of getting tossed around with the fact that I was talking with some friends and I was surprised with this because I forgot this, that they just finished the fourth season on Hulu, right? And they're going, well, how many more seasons left? I'm trying to remember. I'm like, I believe it's five seasons in the movie. But in my head, I'm like, no, that can't be right. Because that being said, season five would have like a bunch of episodes. And we look it up, and yes, it was five seasons in the movie. Just that season five was, at that point, was always, you know, you get that week of Steven, that five episodes, and it then goes on hiatus for like a year. And it comes back with five more episodes. And the way that format
that
is,
says
like,
something about the development team.
Forget that that's all one season.
Yeah, that says something about the development team.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be real with you. There's no excuse Steven Universe should take that long.
No.
If I can get my weekly episodes of like a Trigger Studios anime that has highly detailed animation that in a way more complex art style, there's no excuse why Steven Universe takes 3 months on it.
Also, think about how the Americans view cartoons, where if you shove out only a period of 5 episodes in the span of 6 months at a time, imagine the ratings you get in watch and viewership from those 5 episodes of people tuning in at 8 o'clock on for that 1 week. Bolsters the channel can say of just releasing them all out, then you're missing a time slot later on the line.
At least Steven Universe got multiple seasons.
True.
Do you know how many shows, good shows, got shafted after one? The Thundercats remake. Symbiotic Titan.
Shafty.
Symbiotic Titan.
What was that? The Secret Saturdays?
Saturdays.
Saturdays and Symbiotic Titans failed. Well, stopped after one season.
There was no toys.
It was all toys?
Toy sales.
That's why Young Justice only ended after two seasons and it just got its third season because of toy sales. Like, they were like, this show isn't selling any toys, so let's end on a cliffhanger for, it was a cliffhanger for, Young Justice. I was so freaking mad.
Yeah, things started to get hyped too.
Shows like for Family, other reason why I feel like you have to know when to end is with Family Guy. When you rewatch the earlier seasons, it's funny. It's actually really funny. I'll give it credit where credit is due. And they do a good blend of the story-driven episode with, you know, the comedic cutaways and good time chokes. But I cannot turn on TV right now or go on Hulu and sit down and watch an episode of Family Guy because it's not funny anymore. And they rely completely on cutaways. And I'm like, it's just an all cutaway show. It's basically shittier animated SNL and it's not funny compared to its counterpart, which I think is a much better written show, American Dad.
Oh yeah, American Dad is way
funnier. I will agree that American Dad is a lot funnier
because
it actually has to focus on the narrative more than cutaways.
It focuses on the narrative. It has episodic writing, so each episode is different. They have some overarching plots, but not too many. I feel like they have a cutaway every so often, but it's really, like you said, narrative driven and then character driven. With the character episodes, you feel something for each character and you want to either know more about their backstory or see them progress and grow and change.
The freaking Krampus episode, dude.
That episode was fly.
Krampus a well-developed character?
why everyone, like one of my favorite characters in that show is Klaus. You would think I wouldn't like find enjoyment from a talking fish, like fucking... or anything else, or Roger is actually pretty funny too, but even Roger doesn't change that much, but he is written well, so he's usually always funny.
Yeah, Roger, he's another hateable guy that we love because he's written to be hated,
right?
You're not supposed to like Roger,
but you do. Like, and I guess in turns and flip it to the east, some animes, you're not supposed to are you supposed
not
to
supposed
like?
Not supposed to like Yagami.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are you supposed to like light? No, but everyone.
No, you're not supposed to like light. Everybody.
You're not supposed to like really anybody in
there. Yeah, you're not supposed to like L either. L is a criminal, if you really think about
but
it.
But then why do we
mean,
him?
L because is a neat.
What?
He's a neat. Well, he is educated, but still. Like, a neat is a term for not educated, employed, or trained. Basically, someone who just sits at home all day.
Oh. Yeah.
And then, like, people freaking love Yoshikage Kira. He's my favorite JoJo villain.
But he's a horrible damn person. He's a whole ass.
He's a serial killer.
Serial killer.
He's
right.
Norman Bates. actually, no, he's what's his face from American Psycho?
That's Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, Patrick Bateman.
Even I watched American Psycho a few, I think earlier last week, and you're supposed to hate that character, but it's almost like you still have this sense of, oh shit, I can get behind this guy, even though he's losing his mind in the course of that movie and slowly descending into madness.
The best scene is when he's having sex and he's looking in the mirror.
Bro.
The memes that have spawned from that is so great.
The memes that have spawned from that.
Or, just like, that is the perfect meme of when you're feeling yourself, bro. Just like, yeah, just looking in the mirror like, yeah, I'm sexy. You ever wake up some mornings and just look in the mirror with your fit and, you know, you just like, damn, I got that drip.
Yeah.
Boy.
Everyone has
he was clapping that girl's cheeks, bro. And then he said, he was looking in the mirror. That was fine. I'm gonna do that one day.
Shit. My train of thought. I was on the east. Like I said it earlier, there are the Bakugo stands are extremely annoying and an enigma because I'm not supposed to like Bakugo, but they do. Like I went to go see the second My Hero movie with some friends in the theater, and we're up in the back. We're just chilling. We're hype for the movie, and a bunch of like girls come to the very bottom of the theater in full like cosplay, and they scream every time Bakugo goes on screen.
Get a life! Stop! I'm playing.
I mean, shit. We were thinking that, I'm like, no, I'm bro. But like, what drives a person to like a character that's supposed to be hated? Like, why does everyone like Endeavor in that show?
Endeavor is fine, bro.
Why?
He's just cause cool. Daddy.
Is that it? Is that where we're all just horny? Were you going Freudisms? Everyone just...
Man, everyone likes an alpha male. Like, people really don't... want to admit it, but everyone loves to see an alpha male.
He's like a horrible person. He's like,
yeah, but he's an alpha male.
He specifically states that he only reason Star was born because he tried to combine Kirk to make the ultimate hero to beat All Might because he can't.
Well, I mean, hottest take is that, you know, Shoto's blood type is physically impossible, considering that him and his Endeavor's blood type and his mother's blood type do not equal his.
Huh.
So, I don't think he's their kid.
Whose kid is he then?
Whose kid is
All for One?
No.
That's whose kid he is. It makes sense.
But yeah, no, the reason why is that it is the beast boyfriend scenario. You know, they want an alpha male.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They want an alpha male.
No one wants Deku. People be like, oh, Deku's so cute. Nobody wants Deku. He cries like a little bitch every day.
Exactly.
Nobody want that.
You want that?
They want the Dobby.
They want Khal Drogo. They want Khal Drogo to forcibly take them.
Oh my God.
I mean, and the same thing goes for guys. Wow. Like, you're not supposed to like a lot of femme fatales, but guys gravitate towards it. I can't think of a good one that everybody likes.
Oh, Black Widow.
She's supposed to be likable. I'm talking about like a female character that was like written out to be not likable. A female likeable.
Character still but, disabled?
What's your name's mom from Kill la Kill? The one with the rainbow hair.
Raggio.
Yeah. Like she came out of nowhere and it's like, oh shit, like that's not cool. Like you said, a femme fatale character that people don't like, or
people that you're not supposed to like written.
Silver Sable,
but people love them. Super Sable is a good one.
I freaking love Silver
because she's Sable. A total bitch and she kind of fucks up on several occasions and.
But you're just guess like, what?
Fuck this bitch.
Every time I see Silver Sable.
But I'm just like, damn,
I mean, Fuchiko Mine, she's a whole ass criminal and she constantly.
But she's supposed to be likable, though. She's likable.
Like, she's really likable. Likeable Silver Sable is never written to be likable.
Yeah, Silver Sable is just straight up like an adversary on 10 out of the 9 occasions.
Yeah.
But you see her. Like,
how about Black Cat or Catwoman?
Black Cat and Catwoman, they're written to be likable.
Well, Catwoman at least.
They're not committing any heinous crimes or fucking over our main character so mad that like they're, you know, actually hurt from it.
Except for when Catwoman left Batman at the altar.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I'm not
going to
lie.
R.I.P. Batman's wedding. R.I.P. Batman's happiness.
Now you got me thinking. Like, at least for female representation, that character that's not supposed to be liked but everyone adores. That is a thought provoking question because mostly female characters are written to service male needs because it's a male centered scripted world of how people write or show us.
Yeah, you have to be on that.
It's unfortunate, but it's
you have to be on that awooga life.
It's in that boardroom of writers. It's like Mad Men, basically. So that's how the world goes.
I mean, like you don't have to make it Mad Men. Even like, I mean, like you write what you want to write, but let's be real. What sells is what sells.
True.
Sex sells.
And I'm sorry if your novel doesn't have a guy with a damn 16 pack, or a bitch that has titties bigger than her head, then you know.
Then why am I watching it? Come on,
it better have an amazing story.
Right, it needs to be something that really breaks the mold to get past that. And when you do get that, you get really good shows. But it's a shame that it has to go above and beyond to get past those constraints.
Well, because people are simple.
Yes.
The consumer is simple.
That's why I guess this is kind of old, if our parents' generation ever picks up a newspaper and they read it, it's written at a high school level because it needs to be simple to to be publicized, that people will gravitate towards it. As my dad likes to quote, I believe this is a 50 Cent quote, you know, you double down, you double your dollars. So you want to, let's say in hip hop artists, you want, instead of something super lyrical and provocative as one of my favorite rappers, and like MF Doom, he's not making as much money as, say,
as
21 Savage, who, isn't completely bad.
I wouldn't say that, like,
it's not as
21 Savage isn't a good example, because there are some moments where he can be very lyrical. I would say,
right.
Fucking what's his face, the one who's like Gucci Gang, fucking
Lil Pump.
That hasn't been relevant in a while though.
Or Tekashi
6ix9ine would be a better, like
Tekashi. We talking about King of New York.
Oh, that man gives me a migraine by looking at him.
I mean, just looking at him gives me a migraine.
Fucking King of New York, what you gonna do about it?
No, I don't know why Dawson likes him.
Nah, he's funny. That man is hilarious.
It's entertaining.
It's really entertaining.
It's like why I watch Alex Jones sometimes. It's just entertaining. I hate him as a person.
Yeah.
It's entertaining to watch. Hearing this man cry about mutant kids in Area 51. Or hearing them scream about why the frogs are gay.
I turned freaking frogs gay. That man is crazy.
So how but it's also sometimes not, is it, it can't be always about, you know, I mean, it is always about marketing and selling and making money. But also, like, think of a show that in its peak or in its creative strive, like Legend of Korra. Dawson, what's the best season of Legend of Korra?
Season 3.
And unfortunately, that was the same time they kicked it into the cesspool that was their website.
So I'm saying.
Because, and some readings, you know, it got super heavy and dark. You know, that was the season, as I hear, was sucking out people's life with airbending and purposely giving Korra mercury poisoning and super hard PTSD and depression. Like, they covered, and people were dying in that season. Like,
just we watched the lady die on the screen.
If you want more season 3 of Korra, just watch Mobile Suit Gundam.
Which Mobile Suit Gundam? You can't just say watch Mobile Suit Gundam
and expect the UC, a listener. The Universal Century. Start from 0079 and make your way up. Because IBO betrays, like, that brutality of Iron Blooded Orphans, betrays that brutality of Gundam. But if you want to see basically season 3 of Korra on steroids, because guess what? All that character you come to like, oh, they brutally explode in their mobile suit.
Iron Blooded Orphans was good, though.
I mean, yeah, it was. Oh. But it doesn't, like, it's a good starter Gundam. But if you want to get to the real heavy shit, the Vietnam shit, I committed a war crime against people. Oops, looks like we gassed that colony of people.
Even in, I guess, moving away from animation, what draws you to, like, say, what, Sentai, Deshaun, or the Ultraman series?
What draws me to that is its lack of realism. It's just something silly and dumb that I like. Because, I mean, well, okay. But also, they could talk about serious themes. Because, like, I'm not really a big fan of Sentai. Like, I mean, I grew up with Power Rangers, but that's not my jam. I'm more of a Kamen Rider guy, which typically talks about a lot more darker themes and covers a lot more darker themes, and so does Ultraman, typically. Even though Ultraman is very much a kid's show, a lot of times Ultraman sometimes will delve into those darker themes of, like, oh man, I'm killing this monster, but oh, it has an egg that it was protecting. That's why it's been violent. Because it's protecting an egg. What do I do? Or, oops, looks like that building I smacked into has people inside.
So it's the showing of actions have consequences, that even in this isolated universe, things like this have effects and the ripple effect, even when you're focusing on one point. That's why when we talked about this earlier episode of the podcast, why I believe that Superman versus Batman would have been better as a standalone single Batman movie, specifically because of the opening scene when you have the events that played out Superman Man of Steel
from the super 9/11.
Yeah, from the viewpoint of a regular person.
Like you know, as much as I hate Zack Snyder, I have to give him his props. That scene was, I was in the theater just like,
and it's funny.
Whoa,
not DC.
That's fucking horrific. Both because DC, like,
sorry.
It's scary. Like, it was genuinely horrifying. Just imagine, like, you're standing in the ground zero, and you look up in the sky, you see lasers fucking chopping buildings in half, and then you see two little dots
blink back and
breaking forth. The sound barrier, smacking in the buildings. It was horrifying.
And it's funny that both DC and Marvel have touched on this issue, but they implement it poorly. And I'm referring to, for Marvel, because I've recently watched this too, is Marvel's Civil War.
Oh yeah,
sidebar really that probably my favorite Marvel movies are these, the Captain America trilogy. But I'll get to that. But in Civil War, Colonel Ross, you know, comes to them about the Sokovia Accords, and he's like, "You guys need to be put in check." And he pulls up this PowerPoint slide or video surveillance of their past quote unquote mistakes. He goes, first, you know, New York, and it shows destruction of the aliens and, you know, Hulk smashing shit.
Technically, they didn't even show the original New York incident, freaking both Hulk movies.
Right, but I guess, right, but they showed the alien one, and I was like, first in my head, I was like, okay, that was bad, but that wasn't their fault, so you can't blame them on that. That was an alien invasion started by your government messing with the Tesseract. Okay, whatever, move on. Then the next clip I believe he shows was DC from Winter Soldier. Again,
which the is government's fault.
Because they were about to pull out fucking genocide on a global scale with those hover carriers.
The better clips to show would have been Harlem from both Hulk movies, because the Hulk destroyed Harlem twice. he just hates the African American culture there. No. The Hulk's a racist.
Hulk is a raging racist.
The only two that shows after that make a little bit of sense was Sokovia and Age of Ultron, because that was fucking Tony's fucking fault. But at the end of the day,
they should have shown Iron Man 1, 2, and 3.
But it also, that scenario falls into the needs of the many. What, needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many? Is that the quote?
No, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Right, okay, that's right.
Because if Sokovia got destroyed, oh well, at least they didn't fucking blow up the planet.
Right, that was the impact that killed everybody. But it was still, and it was technically Tony's fault, because he went ahead and made
Ultron.
Side-tated that, I was still kind of was pissed off from theater that he just completely shafted the great idea of still having Hank Pym make it, but that was whatever. Then they did the most recent one in that movie. It was a bomb threat that Scarlet Witch sends up because she's trying to save Captain America's life. And it was an error. Error that happened in the moment. So it was bad, but there was already shit going on in that around them that wasn't the biggest thing that, oh, she's to blame, that she needs to be put
for. Oh, are you saying you're team Captain America on this?
Not even that. I'm getting to that. That, so a lot of what Ross is putting out was good in terms of the philosophy that, you know, with these superheroes, damage has a price, and you guys can't be going around doing shit. But then also, right, and then Vision was like, our very existence entices conflict, and that leads to all this other mess, and watching it from the outside is pretty egregious. You know, so you would think I would be on the Iron Man side, but the way they implement it, Captain's like, of course, we're not going to just go out. They can, this basically become country's death squad. If they sign, they've been like, okay, we want to, this country is messing up or some whatever, because we need to stop the spread of communism, whatever, you know, like back in the old days. They said, oh, we can use the United Nations to send the Avengers to wipe them out. But the Avengers go, well, there's a fucking Galactus is coming down or could be coming, and we need to get on that. Well, the government's like, no, you can't do that because we control you now. You can't really put a control on super beings.
Yeah, you can. There needs to be a registration. Greg, do you like the idea that the Hulk can walk around freely and do whatever he wants? Do you want Harlem to get destroyed again?
Do you like the lonely lives of freaking
Hulk can be put in check, and that is Bruce Banner. He may slip a few times, but
no.
His Bruce Banner's ultimate
goal is slip is millions of dollars.
That's a lot for a slip. Like Harlem, Luke Cage has to have a place to live. Come on,
bro.
Like, we don't need whole city blocks being destroyed because guess what? The edgy teenager with superpowers decided, whoa, I'm gonna blow up the school.
Because the ISIS, because the guy that frequents the ISIS subreddit got freaking mind powers now.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do when, like, I don't know, Vulture and his gang?
I guess,
no, they don't have superpowers, but
I'm trying to think of someone. Can you really control your atomic bomb when your atomic bomb has a conscience?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
You can give them proper training and teach them why not to be a dickhead.
Exactly.
But wouldn't that training be subsequently be biased to your own plights and needs?
I mean, yes, but would you rather the U.S. have a nuclear bomb person, or would you want the streets to have a nuclear bomb person?
The streets of the U.S.
Because guess what? If a gang gets a hold of them, say old homeboy with the laser beams joins the Crips, you know.
Oh.
He signs up.
Or the Proud Boys gets the dude.
Oh yeah, the Proud Boys get a fucking dude with shotgun fingers or some shit. What you gonna do? Fight that?
Run your shit, nigga.
Exactly. They're gonna run your shit. Huh? They're gonna take your shoes.
Freaking explosion hands like Bakugo. What are you gonna do then? What are you gonna do, Greg?
That being said, as I want to wrap back to my original point, that both DC and Marvel had the seeds to make a good story off that concept, but they just executed really shitty.
I mean, the hottest take for me is that they wasted Civil War so early.
Yes, we did talk characters. About that. They did waste Civil War, but I believe one of the reasons for wasting it was, I think you're ending up on contracts.
Yeah, but they could have saved it, to be honest with you, and waited to see who was going to stay and who wasn't, and then had that big movie where, because I mean, for example, Chris Evans, his script is up.
Right.
Yeah, his contract's up.
Mm-hmm.
They could have had that been the movie that Captain America dies, because that's what happens in the comics.
I mean, I guess.
Also, there's some Universal reset shit because, you know, Spider-Man has to get his identity back, but.
Right.
By selling his soul.
I sense a good Universe reboot coming up soon. That's fine.
Did you see what they did to Spider-Man's face for the Spider-Man PS4 remaster? They made him look like a disgusting Tom Holland hybrid.
Speaking of positive things with Tom Holland,
Peter was looking rough.
No, hold on. He released a photo of him for the upcoming Uncharted movie as Nathan Drake, and it looked
promising. He's Nathan Drake?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
What do you mean?
Ugh. He's not old enough.
He's in his mid-20s. He's not some 16-year-old kid, as the media likes to portray him. He's
Tom Holland. I gotta look up this image. I gotta see how cringe this is, because that sounds awful. Ew.
Do I have the right to not care about an Uncharted movie?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, he's 24 years old.
No. Ew. He doesn't even have the stubble. What's going on, Tom? It's disgusting. He looks like I don't know what to describe it.
I think it's a good start. I'm sure that
also he's short.
Bruh. Tom Cruise is my height.
Yeah.
The height does not matter.
We all know Tom Cruise is short.
But you don't think about it when you're watching the newest Mission Impossible, right?
But my question is, alright, if what's his face is Tom and is Nathan Drake. Who is Sully?
I don't know. We don't know yet.
Because Sully is the man.
Who would you want to be Sully to contrast for Tom Holland?
Who would I want to be Sully? I don't know.
Tom Cruise is Nathan Drake.
No, get what's his face? J.K. Simmons to be Sully. Because J.K. Simmons needs to be in everything that Spider-Man is in. He needs to haunt Spider-Man past.
Past, present, and future.
Now, exactly. See, Dawson, I think Tom Cruise, that would have been good if the movie was coming out in the 90s, if we had a less crazier, just starting out Tom Cruise than what he's turned into now.
Who's the guy that plays, Jack Ryan in the Jack Ryan TV show?
On Amazon?
Yeah.
Oh, Jim. What's his name? I forgot. I can only see him as fucking... Let's see. Because he's married to the... He wrote The Quiet Place and he's married to the actress in that movie, right?
John Krasinski. Yeah. I think Krasinski could have played a decent Nathan Drake.
I think Oscar Isaac could too.
But at the same time, I have to say, I get it. If they're going with the first game of Uncharted, right, Nathan Drake is about 20 something. So yeah, it makes sense.
This movie goes right. That's another three movie that's series
franchise
for Tom Holland. Right. If they play their cards right.
I mean, hot take, Uncharted stories, in my opinion, aren't really that good. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Even better,
Uncharted not that good.
wasn't my cup of tea. I didn't play much of it growing up, so I can't give my opinion on it. But if they even have a better chance of making it a franchise, because it's been proven this past couple of years that video games, movies can be good, and people are in the market for it. So they do it right.
But Greg, who do you want to be Shinji in the Ava movie?
That's the thing?
No.
They're making another one?
No, but the thing is that, remember, Warner Brothers can attain whatever it wants. Currently, they're just holding on to the rights to Mobile Suit Gundam, and God, I'm scared. I cry every night. Look. I pray to Tomino, God of Gundam,
I don't think they even remember they have it. It's probably...
No, they have the rights. They keep saying they're making a movie.
Shoved in the back of their vault with all the other stuff they own the rights to. And
But no, this year they said, yes, the Mobile Suit Gundam movie is in the works.
Oh, God, really?
Yes. Can't wait to ruin your childhood.
A live-action actor to play Shinji Akari. Oh, fuck. I'm trying. It would have to be... You know, I know I could do
it. Make it a white guy.
No.
We have to make him white because, it's an American version.
It's the kid that plays Five in the Umbrella Academy. The kid off of Ricky, Dicky, and Don. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Fuck Ricky, Dicky, and Don.
I have no idea.
Ugly ass kids.
Did you guys not watch...
I did watch that bullshit, and that shit was ass. No, I vaguely watched it. It was so ass. I hated
like him. I liked Umbrella Academy, but you remember Five's actor, child actor?
No, I didn't. I wasn't talking about Umbrella Academy. I was talking about Ricky, Dicky, and Don.
Oh no, I don't care about. I was talking about his recent thing he's been in, which is the Umbrella Academy.
So
my sister told me to watch it.
Can we get Bryan Cranston to play Gendo? That's right, Shinji.
Bryan Cranston, I'm the one as who Gendo? Knocks.
Get in the robot.
I don't see.
No, I want Bryan. I want Bryan Cranston's Hal from Malcolm in the Middle. I want that character back. I love that character, Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, bruh.
Yeah,
he's the best character ever.
I think
in any form of media.
What? I guess if he's... Would Robert Downey Jr. be too old to play Ryoji?
Ryoji's the guy who plays... the guy who's Shinji's, spy friend, right?
Yeah, and Masato's love it. Masato's on and off thing.
Yeah, he's too old.
He's too old now. that shit. We're at this weird shift in actors who we in our heads are still young, but they're actually kind of old now. And
then yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is like, I think he's like almost in his 60s or in his 60s.
And then we don't know any of the new actors yet because they're not super have broken out. I'm looking at this character list.
Dude, let's get Liam Neeson to play Gendo.
I can see that. That's better. I'll take that over Bryan Cranston. I take Liam Neeson as Gendo or Bryan Cranston.
The Liam Neeson talking about how he's going to grab a stick to go beat up black people.
Bro.
You know that's a thing?
I can do Drew Barrymore as Ritsuko Akagi.
My whole thing is just I'm just kind of done with Hollywood and these live action shits.
Oh, stop! Yeah. Again, it's the whole meme. We've got to have money, and it's blatant that they don't care about those IPs anymore.
I mean, you know what's gonna piss me off is Mandalorian season 2. I'm scared.
Don't jinx it.
It's scaring me because they're putting in every fucking person in Star Wars into this season. Oh, Ahsoka Tano's there. Boba Fett's there. Fucking, who else is there? Like, I'm tired of seeing, like, Star Wars is a fucking massive galaxy.
Look, we will talk about this once it comes out at the end of this week, actually.
When is Boba? No, I have to finish watching season 1.
Okay, you have 10 days.
I have 10 days, but I also have work.
Yeah, we do, and we have...
Man, I'll finish it. Don't worry. I was waiting on my dad because we're watching it because I got Disney Plus extra late.
I'm glad my roommate had it at school and it was on while we were doing work and I was able to watch it. And Dawson would come in and like, no, I haven't watched it yet. And we had to turn it off.
But you know what? I'm just going to say, forget it. Our father-son thing, we can't do it because we have to talk about it on the podcast.
But me and my mother... we had a show that we actually both enjoyed and we watched together. It was Lovecraft Country. I highly recommended it. It was really good.
Is it that good? Because like the hype kind of died and I heard nothing about it after like the first two episodes.
That's because a lot of people was actually paying $12 for HBO Max on Sling.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the big issue.
Right. But that issue aside, it is really good. And it's funny, just like that. There was one episode that I'd missed because I was doing something that night. And then I looked on my mother's Instagram. She posted about it. I was hurt. You know, she watched it without me. I was like, ah.
I will tell you, I the local Lovecraft expert, will judge on that.
It's not all just on Lovecraft. His
no, work. No, I get it.
Genre that Lovecraft.
I know, Greg. The reason why it's called Lovecraft Country is not because of it's based off of, well, it has Lovecraft elements,
right?
But it's because of the most Lovecraftian thing of all, racism. Guys, if you didn't know, racism is an eldritch being that exists outside of our mortal minds. We can only do so much to stop it.
Is the racist eldritch being, is it that the flying spaghetti monster or is that the giant cosmic turtle?
No, it's the thing from Guilty Gear that was going to come through all of our computers in 1999.
Oh my God. That was a thing.
Yes. Did you watch that video on Guilty Gear Store?
Yeah, I did.
How do you feel about it?
It was funny. It's like, huh, when I finished watching it, I was like, huh, if this would have happened in this year, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised because 2020 has been just off the rails. It was that wild for me. I was like, damn, this is a lot. But I wouldn't be surprised if some bullshit like this happens.
Yeah, I can't wait for, you know, the computer monster to come through and then the mage association comes out and is like, hey, we got magic.
Speaking of computer, it's funny how like the generation before us all thought the world was going to end on the year 2000 because the computers couldn't register another the extra zero.
They're
out there maxing out credit cards, calling it the end of the world. We're going to have no technology because it's the year 2000. It's the Y2K. People believe that.
People were stupid back then.
Y2K sounds like the scariest shit.
I mean,
just like how fucking SK9 extinction event, you know, the fucking meteor that fucking blew up all the dinosaurs. Yeah. That shit sounds so fucking scary. Who names this shit? Who names this shit? Please.
Did you guys?
Please stop.
When we were younger, did you guys believe in the 2012 bullshit?
No. I did. See, I was pretty stupid. I admit it.
I was okay. So I want to share.
I was a dedicated little Christian boy. I didn't believe that was gonna happen.
Nah, look. Here's the funny thing.
And if it did, I was ready to be raptured.
I. It's funny because when all was going on, you know, we're all 12, and I was at school. I was like, you know, it's not real. I believe in science. You know, this is not gonna happen. There's no zombie apocalypse, no end of world type shit. But I remember clear as day because back then, you know, you had limits on what you could do at night. I know I had no iPad after a certain period of time, but I had taken my iPad and I was watching Netflix or some show at like late at night.
You had Netflix in 2012?
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah, because it was because at that point.
Was I some fucking weird boomer kid? I guess I was.
Because my mom got it.
Because Netflix 2012.
No, we didn't have Netflix.
Because Netflix,
I had to watch that cable.
It was right on the shift where they were just weaning down on, you know, remember Netflix, you get to rent movies through the mail?
Yeah.
They were just slowing down that and just starting the streaming service. So that's why.
Yes, I'm saying, like, I just, when they really focused on the streaming service, that's when my parents got it. Because they're like, yeah, right, we're going to get rid of our Redbox subscription.
Right. So I'm sitting in my bed under the covers watching Netflix at 11, 12 o'clock. I'm not supposed to, yada, yada. And I'm not scared. I'm not scared of this end of the world. And then my Netflix, it stops working and then it starts to buffer. And then I can't tell in my room because all my lights are out, but I can hear everyone else in my neighborhood. The power's going out. There's a blackout. And I lose my fucking mind. It's my parents' room.
They're gonna kill me!
Right! Right. And she was already like, you know, that's why are you doing up anyway? I was like, you had the iPad, did you? Like, yeah. I fucking got myself caught, but I had lost my mind because the power started. I looked out my window, the power started going out in people's houses.
Bro, the reason why the world didn't end in 2012 is that someone sacrificed enough of people for the Aztec gods to be pleased.
Someone was down. Like so that's someone sacrificed, went down to Central America, you know, sacrificed themselves.
Yeah, someone sacrificed.
Went to one of their altars.
Yeah, someone, like, when the stars aligned, they held up their baby and fucking cut it open.
And drank its blood.
And drank its blood in order to prevent.
And feasted upon its bones and flesh.
Well, I also really like the idea that, you know, what the Mayans just, you know, just gave up. It's like, you know what, we're not going to write any more years.
Okay. I heard that, like, I don't know if this is true or not. Someone fact check me, but.
You can add us at the
beginning. Someone was saying that, like, the prophecy doesn't go into effect until 8 years after. Guess what year it is?
No, don't. Bro, that's some tinfoil hat level.
No, this is something I heard before 2020 hit.
Huh.
This is something I heard back when, you know, people were like, well, nothing happened in 2012.
So, in
also, this Halloween is special because guess what?
What's full moon?
Full moon.
It's a blue moon.
Oh, I think from the Smurfs movie?
Oh, yeah, the Smurfs coming down the top.
It's an actual, like, astrological event. And it kind of has a blue tint to the moon. And it's a full moon, but it has, like, a blue. It's weird.
I do like it, though, if it was the harvest moon. It was the reddish-orange hue.
But
Dawson, can we
say? No, you know what that's associated with, right? The blue moon, right?
What?
It's associated with a lot of bad things happening.
Oh, goodness.
And it's 2020, boys.
Dawson, do you remember our full moon chant for band? Is that podcast appropriate?
I don't know. Maybe.
What did y'all talk about?
What was it, Dawson?
I don't remember. I forgot everything.
You forgot everything? Oh.
Not everything, but I'm exaggerating, but.
Though it was kind of sad. I really remembered. I woke up Sunday morning. I was like, man, wait a minute. I'm missing something. And I looked online and last weekend was our homecoming weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm supposed to be like off my ass enjoying myself, but I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. I'm supposed to be.
And then they're promoting, you know, this HBCU virtual homecoming event. That ain't the same.
I didn't go
to y'all know it was not the same.
Oh, man, I'm in my room dancing to that band music, that virtual band music.
Didn't they have AKON before?
Who the fuck cares about
bro? Oh, yeah, I was going to say, like, out of all the black influential music people that y'all could have got, y'all got AKON. Bro, what corner did y'all find him on?
Bro.
In 6ix9ine's backyard. I'm playing.
Bro, wasn't the sophomore year Clark Atlanta got DaBaby, and what do we get for our performance?
We got Young Thug.
What? Bro, that's when you just gotta find DaBaby roaming around Charlotte, bro.
Young Thug was fine. Y'all are playing.
Greg, just walk around and fucking hope that you run into DaBaby. You know, it's like... It's like the Yakuza game, you know. You just walk around and you run into random encounters. You just gotta hope that it's DaBaby.
I remember though being kind of upset because I remember all the rumors for our R&B concert that we supposedly were going to be able to get like Jill Scott, and then we got like someone completely like I was like who over who? Jill Scott. I was like what?
I mean, at least you guys get notable people. I mean, we get notable country people Sean, that come around here.
How are your homecomings?
Oh. Fucking white people shit. So like,
describe a PWI homecoming.
A PWI homecoming. Ah, yes,
really fun.
Everybody's tailgating outside the fucking stadium. You know, they're like doing their thing.
Okay, that sounds.
Woo! Drinking the they can't drink the beers on campus, but you know they're already coming. They're already inebriated.
Is the 1 week in our campus where blatant drinking is just like the police are in it. Like it's.
Either way,
blatant underage drinking, not just blatant drinking.
It's the country, so you know, and we're a Christian school, so you know, can't allow to drinking on campus. But everybody's probably already inebriated. It's much I would put this nicely, it's what you think when you think about the country. Oh. That's who comes out. They're all wearing their orange and black. Yee-yee! Chewing tobacco. Then, you know, the band makes its way from the fucking Fine Arts building all the way through main campus and walks into the stadium blasting, you know, white people band music. Go Campbell. That's what it is. And then
hot take, easiest shit in the world for half the time.
Yes, easiest shit in the world. And then, you know, football team comes out. There's like a 50-50 chance that they'll either win or lose.
Man, at least, I wish it was a 50-50 shot.
And it's that's pretty much it. And like for concerts and stuff, like last year we had Hunter Hayes, a country singer.
This is like 100% chance that we're gonna lose.
We had a country singer come down last year for a concert, Hunter Hayes, and ooh. I was like, someone they were like. You want to come to the Hunter Hayes concert, Deshaun? I was just like,
Hunter
who
Hayes?
That?
The only country singer I know off the top of my head is well, like something like Tim McGraw.
It's Billy Ray Cyrus. That's all I know.
Or Rascal Flatts because they made the fucking car thing from Cars.
Who? I'm playing.
Exactly.
I'm gonna ride it all night long.
Yep.
But yeah, no. I'm just over here like, yeah. Yeah.
So what do you do during this?
What do I do? I hang out with my boys because my boys aren't into that shit either. Because fuck watching the football game because our football team's ass. So why waste time when I could be playing Smash or getting drunk or a mixture of both?
Why waste time? I say as I go to every football game. No,
that's what I'm saying. Have to.
Well, so, I mean, yeah, you're in the band.
It's funny, like, no, there are some blatant times where we're all like, why do I want to go to this football game again? We know they're going to lose. I'm like, oh, wait, because I do this for a living. I'm the only thing that makes
I'm in the freaking band.
We make the football games bearable, and that's stretching it a little bit.
I mean, yeah, no, you're not wrong. I mean, like.
though there was our freshman year when we went undefeated for a while and had that. Amazing show in Chicago with the Hail Mary fourth last second right. pass.
They were lucky as heck. I'm not gonna that Hail Mary that he caught with one hand
the last seconds.
We should have lost that game.
Oh, we should have lost.
No. The more interesting thing on my campus is our basketball team, because our basketball team is actually competent.
Our basketball team is decent. I mean,
how? That's surprising. Like, how does Morehouse, an HBCU, not have neither a competent basketball team nor a competent football team?
Because I mean, athletes tend to not go to PWIs. Athletes tend to not go to HBCUs.
You don't know?
Oh yeah, because they get fucking drafted by the white coach being like, "We'll pay your full tuition."
By the slavers. I mean,
but you know what the funniest thing
about the slavers team?
I saw it was happened last year. They had this exhibition game against Georgia Tech, by one of the whitest schools I know, and got their asses handed to them.
Who?
So Georgia Tech. Remember they played Georgia Tech and they lost miserably?
Who? Our school?
Yes, Morehouse.
Oh my gosh.
It was hilarious. Absolutely.
How did they don't even
a bunch of nerds at Georgia Tech. Beat them.
Bunch of dweebs.
Dweebs. Though the bowling alley is quite nice. Let's see. How do we want to wrap up this episode in a nice little bow before I feel like we're gonna go off a cliff on say some shit.
Why HBCU financial aid? I'm playing.
Bro, no.
Let's talk about some real deep shit. Why the struggle? Why the propagation of marijuana in the black community is actually because of the nihilistic state of the African-American male.
Go on.
Oh, I can actually go into that if you want me to. The African-American male is forced to deal with so many struggles throughout his daily life. A, first of all, being the constant and looming threat of that he might be killed by the state in any moment for acting out of order or just doing anything out of order. He has to maintain a job to take care of himself and oftentimes a family, where sometimes that family life is not appreciative of the African-American male's contributions to the family, thus leading to things when he comes home, he wants to relax. He does not give a fuck anymore. He no longer cares about anything else except for his own carnal pleasures, which often leads to the consumption of marijuana and alcohol. Now, personally, as someone who consumes both of those, there's nothing wrong with that. But it oftentimes leads down a route of addiction, because you can get addicted to anything. And it's come to this awful place where a lot of African American males specifically are somewhat addicted to several different things because they have no other creative outlet to let out the stresses of daily life.
That's a good, well thought out.
A pretty somber end.
Pretty deep for the end. I can't even.
Yeah, we got to talk about Nietzsche. Nietzsche in the black community.
I can't even like make an uplifting, witty like joke or remark to lift spirits. Cause that's pretty
strong. Pretty tough, you know. It's tough.
Pretty tough.
It's pretty tough. No,
here we go. The 2020 Generation Z, ready to get over it. It do be like that though.
It be like that.
It be like that sometimes. As we head on, I believe this is 1 week from election night. Want to thank once again.
When is election night again?
All right, we got to make our bets now on podcast for the
podcast. Record. All right, start Dawson.
Who winning?
Dawson, who's winning?
I'm gonna throw a Hail Mary. Third party, no, I'm playing.
Joe Jurgensen for the win.
Kanye's winning.
I'm gonna say that Joe Biden is gonna win.
Dawson? Sorry, Sean.
I think we get in as much as I hate it, I think we get in another 4 years of Trump.
See,
I done seen the red wave, dude. It's scary, bro.
It's scary because I know it's a bigger margin this time around than with Hillary, but at the same time, everyone projected her to win. It was going to be a sweep. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Use your minds, people. But Trump wins, and he's been losing in the polls all this past couple, this past month, and it's becoming more and more of a Biden win. Well, but that, that fear is that, you know, shit, we've been here before, and it's going to be another 4 more years.
I mean,
but I will say I would like Biden to win. I'm gonna put my.
I mean, yeah, like I would also like Biden to win. But think about it. Trump supporters aren't going to openly admit that they like Trump.
I mean, some do.
Some of them are feeling bold now, are. But a majority of them, because it takes a majority to win, typically, aren't going to say anything because they're afraid of the social repercussions of saying that I like Trump.
I did like this.
And so when these polls are conducted, they just either choose not to answer or don't provide data.
I do like the saw this TikTok where this was cool outcome of the election would be like if Biden wins, you know, everyone's freed from the spell of Trump and all the Trump supporters are like, well, their minds are wiped. Like, where have I been? Where you've been gone for the past 4 years. What? You were a Trump supporter. I was like, what? You've been freed from the spell type shit.
Trump supporter? What?
But let's see. We will definitely come to everyone and get by the next week and see if our outcome is the truth. Because I think that's 2 episodes from now. Because is it Tuesday? Next Tuesday is the election.
I guess that's kind of scary.
That is kind of scary to think.
Our next 4 years are determined on Tuesday.
Right.
And hey, man. Like I said, I got my gas mask ready. I got my spiky shoulder pads ready.
Ready for...
I got my clubbed baseball bat with a...
We're ready for Thunder.
Barbed wire wrapped around it. I'm ready to go full on Mad Max, bro. Right.
Mad Max / Book of Eli.
Do you got the football helmets with the spikes on it?
Mad Max.
You got the BDSM gear ready to go?
I've got my duster.
You got
I've got my boomstick and my chainsaw, yeah.
Can I just be like, can I be like a shonen? Can I like, I'm going to move to Cali real quick and I'm going to be like a shonen.
North Star.
I'm going to be like a shonen anime protagonist, but my base of operations is going to be like a legal marijuana stand or something that used to be a KFC. And I'm going to have a bunch of samurai
sword. All right. If any of this does transpire in the wake of next week, we will sure talk about it on the podcast.
But listen to our podcast while you're fighting for your life.
Hey,
fighting for the scraps of that rat.
It may be just what they need, and probably the only thing they got, the only cell covers they have, is our podcast, right?
Oh man, I love those guys. The other day when I stabbed a guy in his face and stole all of his rations, dude, I was listening to the podcast and I was just crackling up.
It was a hoot of a time.
For all those future apocalypse listeners and everyone else, we'd like to thank everyone for listening. As always, you can find us at thereuppodcast.com. That's www.reup-podcast.com. And we're on SoundCloud. Look up The Reup Podcast. Our logo will be right there with all the list of episodes ready to go. You can also find us on our Discord and on our Twitter at The Reup Podcast. We'd like to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.